Welcome to the Veritas Equipping Podcast, a podcast designed to provide insight, resources, and biblical wisdom. Our mission as Veritas Church is raise up mature disciples, send out everyday missionaries, glorify God. Join us as we pursue Jesus to become mature disciples and effective disciple makers for God's glory. Church, welcome back to the Veritas Equipping Podcast. We've got another installment here of the Beyond the Message series where we continue to dive into the text from yesterday, what the preacher taught through, and ask some questions and get some further understanding and practical application. So you've got, once again, Sam here joining you this morning, and I've got Michael. I was about to say in the studio. We're in a conference room. We're podcasting from a cart. This isn't a studio. We're not that big of a deal. Michael Rhodes joined me this morning. Michael,
hey, guys.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
Good to be back.
Good. We were just talking. I did not realize this, that this is your first Beyond the Message podcast.
Totally.
We started this in the middle of, or right when you went on sabbatical this summer, and which then has led to, this was your first Sunday message back.
Yeah.
So you shook all the cobwebs out.
I don't know about that, but I was just telling you that, like, this is the longest since I've started ministry, like 21 years ago. I think, is that right? Yeah.
You've been
23 years ago.
23 years.
23 years ago, that this is the longest that I've gone without preaching. So, wow. 6 months. It felt a little rusty yesterday, felt a little clunky. Thankfully, God's gracious.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was great. Great to receive God's word yesterday and keep going through 2 Corinthians. And I was blessed by your message yesterday, Michael. So, once again, a recap. So we are in 2 Corinthians. We're going through. We're finishing up chapter 1 yesterday, chapter 1, verses 12 through then chapter 2, verses 4. Kind of had a couple different places, jumped to some other spots in 2 Corinthians that kind of filled in some context. You did a great job pulling in Jeremiah 9 and then also looking a little bit ahead to where we're going in 2 Corinthians just to kind of get a bigger picture of what Paul's talking about here. So, again, just the main thing was that there was this misunderstanding in the church in Corinth with who Paul was, what authority was he writing to them with, how they should be related to him versus the leaders that were there, kind of with them in the trenches. And there was really, there was some opposition to his apostleship, to his communication, to his plans, to his motives. And then our big idea that you gave us yesterday, Michael, was boast in the work of God when misunderstood in the ministry of God. So,
well, try that again, Sam. You said in the ministry of God.
Sorry, I added to it. That's great. Thank you for catching it. It was a test and you passed. Boast in the work of God when misunderstood in the work of ministry.
There you go.
Period.
There you go.
Awesome. So, Michael, our first question when we go through this is, we've talked through this quite a bit, but just giving the picture of when a preacher gets ready to deliver a message for a Sunday, there's a lot of work that goes into that. Jake talks about this a lot. A lot of other pastors talk about this. But by the time you're up there ready to go Sunday morning, you've got a lot of stuff that you've left behind on the cutting room floor. There's other things you want to say. Or even in the middle of it, sometimes you skip over your notes. You're like, or just time. Like, I can't get to that right now, but we want to. Yesterday you said that. You're like, we can talk about this in the podcast, which is great. That's why we're doing this. So the first question that we always do in this series is just asking, if you had more time in your message to expand or include something else from the text, what would that have been?
Gosh, it feels like I could, and I think this is probably every preacher feels this way. It feels like I could have preached like 4 sermons from yesterday.
It's amazing how God's word works like that.
I know,
right?
I know. It's like it's a gold mine. There was a lot that I wish I could have explained. It felt like there was a lot of time that I needed to take to explain the logistics of what's going on in Paul's ministry. So that just took up a bunch of time to help us understand the context, which is appropriate. But I think one of the biggest things, verse 12, and I spent a good bit of time on verse 12, but a whole sermon could have been preached on verse 12 about the integrity of a believer. Mm. For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world. So how should a believer behave in the world? With simplicity or holiness, godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God. And he said, I did it supremely so toward you. So we could have spent so much time talking about how a believer should act. and how they should live, what the pattern of their life should be.
You get the motivation behind that.
I mean, totally.
Clearly. It's like we're not just focused on behavior modification, but the heart transformation that results in changed behavior.
Totally.
That results in the fruit that is the work of God in you and through you.
Yeah, and Jake's talked about it often. We're not, when we talk about living holy lives, we're not talking about living legalistic lives. Like we've kind of pushed holiness to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're worried about legalism, we're not saying like act this way to earn your salvation, but act this way because you have salvation.
Right.
And this is how you should act, with simplicity, with godly sincerity, with wisdom that came from God, with his grace. So I wish I would have spent much more time on that. I think the other big thing that this is what I mentioned yesterday,
yep,
was verses 21 and 22. And it says, "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Mm-hmm. And just to see that the people of God are secure in Christ. When you've been misunderstood, how secure are you? Paul uses this incredible like royalty language here about like you've been established by God in Christ. So like the idea of establishing a kingdom, you've been anointed by God in Christ. So you've been anointed as king. You've been commissioned and set apart as royalty here. Then you've been sealed, right? So that you have, that's the king's approval. He would put his seal on something. So there's just so much richness to talk about your identity in Christ and how secure you are in Christ, mm-hmm, that he's established you. You know, I think back to 1 Peter, like you're a kingdom, you're a royal priesthood, yeah, those kind of things. Man, just such great identity language that we need to hold on to often when we feel misunderstood, that to know that, no, we're secure in Christ.
Yeah, and that connection too of looking at just what we were talking about, the conduct that should flow with being in Christ, how much more when you're focusing on your identity, like, no, I'm someone who is this, right? Like, I have been established by God in Christ. I have been anointed by God. I have, like, it's yeah, this, like you put yourself with grace. You put yourself in that. You're not saying like the Bible is about you. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you personalize, like these aren't just words on a page. Like this is personal to us because God has applied this to us. And then it's like, and with that, the conduct that flows out.
And to go back to like the big idea that boasting in God, like, oh, I'm not just established on my own works. Like God had to do this in Christ. Yeah. I'm not anointed as some grand person. Like God's anointed me through Christ. I don't have this seal and this guarantee on my own works. It's because he's graciously given me the Holy Spirit. So just, I think if you just read that apart from the other part of the context of boasting in God, then you could make a big deal about yourself.
Yeah.
And that's not what Paul's doing here at all.
Absolutely. That's sweet. Anything else there? I mean, like you said, you've got four or five.
Yeah, I mean, messages. Even verse 24 alone, like, not that we lord it over you, over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. And then going on the next four verses, there's just so much about, like, the ministry of a church leader there, right, which I didn't feel like, I've got a large audience that we're talking to on Sunday morning. Not all of them are in a church leadership setting.
Mm-hmm.
So now we could have done a great talk to connection group leaders or something like
that. Did you say John Piper had a conference?
Like he spent so much time on that one verse. Yeah. And I'm like, man, there's just so much richness there. Yeah. But that's okay. Can't get to it. Yeah, can't get to it all.
That's sweet. Very cool. Okay, second question here. So with that, none of us have been called to apostolic ministry like Paul, right? But we have been called to be ambassadors for Christ. So understanding that, what are the ministry things that we're most likely to be misunderstood for?
I mean, I think it's the same type of things, though.
Because
they misunderstood all the practical little things of life, how he behaved, his communication, like his timing and his schedule and his planning and his travels, his intentions and motives. So I don't think those big buckets change.
Sure.
If you were an apostle versus just an ambassador, not just an ambassador
right.
of Christ.
Still
but you
pretty
are,
great.
Yeah,
still pretty
exactly.
sweet. We've been adopted into sonship. Kind
yes.
of a big deal.
Yeah. So I don't think I don't think that changes that much. Those are still going to be the things that you're misunderstood by in your ministry, at your work, in your ministry, mm-hmm. in your neighborhood. Hey, why did you act this way? Somebody's going to misread your actions. Why did you do it this way? Mm-hmm. I don't think you live, you know, there's intentions and motives and all this stuff. Same things are going to be questioned.
Yeah. Why do you always say this?
Correct.
Why, yeah. Like I say something good happened to you, say praise God.
Yeah.
Because praise God. Yes. Right? Like, you know, just opportunities there for sure. So with that, like, this was kind of my next part two of this question. I've got another one. We've got three parts with this question.
You've given me 10 questions.
That's all right. Don't worry about
in
it.
In three.
So with that, how can we see being misunderstood actually benefiting us? Not that the goal should just be like, well, we should just seek to never be misunderstood.
Yeah.
But how can God be at work in that when misunderstandings do come about for sure. those reasons?
I think first and foremost, there's more chances to glorify God, right?
Yeah.
Like than just the general way of life. Like if everything's great all the time, you should be glorifying God in that. But when you're misunderstood, here's a chance for you to boast in the work of God, right?
Yeah.
So, but then I think there's more chance for conversations.
Hmm.
There's more chance for sanctification.
Yeah.
Where you recognize like, oh, I thought I was being misunderstood here, but some of that was actually true. And it's a chance for God to refine you in those moments, and it benefits you in the sense of you're being refined into the image of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sweet. Just makes me think of like the gospel humility, like freedom of self-forgiveness. You work through that book.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, gospel humble, like somebody who is just steeped in gospel humility. When you go away from a conversation with that person, there's like this reality. They made much in the name of Jesus, and they were like quick to be real honest and confess sin.
Yeah.
That's great. Awesome. All right, part three here. Does this look differently when there's a ministry misunderstanding between two believers versus a believer and an unbeliever?
Sure. You're going to handle that differently. I mean, my hope would be that you would still boast in the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, they're not going to get it.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to grasp it fully, but it's another chance for you to proclaim Christ. But if you're using Christ as your defense there, I got to be careful here. Like you want to use Christ as your defense, but they're going to just look past that. And like, I don't care about Jesus, right? Potentially.
Sure.
So I think your integrity needs to remain the same.
Yeah.
You need to maintain that type of integrity from verse 12, whether you're with a believer or not.
Yeah.
So that you can have a clear conscience, right?
Yeah.
Boast in the Lord, proclaim him. But that's probably going to be more internal when you're dealing with a believer, because you're struggling maybe internally of like, oh, I can't believe they didn't get this, or they misread this, or they misunderstood this. And that's where you've got to go back to, I know I'm secure in Christ. Let me remind myself of the gracious work of God. But in your interaction with them, again, you still talk about Jesus,
yeah,
like with the non-believer. But the way that you do that is probably going to change a little bit.
Well, I was even kind of, just as you were talking there, just thinking through, like, if that process of, okay, there's a misunderstanding, kind of thinking through, like, there's going to be proclamation of the gospel, there's going to be restoration or reconciliation, and then there's going to be exaltation, right? So just thinking through, like, if you're with an unbeliever, you're going to be heavy towards the, like, all right, I'm going to tell you where I'm coming from, I'm going to seek to help you understand my viewpoint, what the gospel is, why it drives this, and then reconciliation,
sure.
And then brief on that, like, exaltation. But then inside, it's like, okay, we're going to proclaim the gospel. We know that's true. We're going to do through the restoration work. We're going to spend a lot of time on exaltation. Like,
and I think for the believer too, you mentioned like helping them understand kind of where you're coming from. But a great thing is like understand, like help me understand what you saw. Help mm-hmm. me understand what I said that bothered you so much. So you're asking them lots of questions,
yeah,
because you show that you love them and you care about them and you're not just about yourself.
Yeah. No, that's good. Sweet. Okay. Done with all three parts of question two. Now we got three parts of question three. The practical application steps you gave yesterday to respond to ministry misunderstandings were 1, consider the accusation, 2, repent if needed, and 3, boast in the work of God. So actually this is one question, but there's three parts of that, so you can...
Yeah, that's me. I brought the three points.
That's right. Can you so expand more on like how you see this helping us live out of God's grace?
I think back to Jesus. Tried to point us to Jesus at the beginning and at the end of like,
yep,
man, he was misunderstood by his family. He was misunderstood by his friends. He was misunderstood by his neighbors. And then at the end, just to say like, we've got to look to Jesus here. He was totally misunderstood. he was slandered and he was killed, like, because of a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't like what he was about because they didn't get what he was about. And so the great thing about Jesus is his perspective moved off of himself and moved off of his circumstances constantly to the will of the Father. And so when I think of how do we boast in the work of God, it's easy when we're misunderstood to turn everything inward. Oh, I'm so frustrated. I'm bothered. How do I defend myself? How to prove myself? And I think what Paul's getting at here is like, get your attention off yourself. Like, yeah. Put it on the Lord. Put it back on Jesus. He understands what's going on because he's been misunderstood. And he's sovereign. And so, and then surrender it to the will of the Father. Okay, God, you see this. You see what's going on. How can I proclaim you in these circumstances? And how can I grow in this circumstance?
Yeah, that's sweet. Makes me think of Hebrews 12, just like reading through that. Like, Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Then right after that's the, like, do not grow weary. And, like, then it's the kingdom focus of, like, God's kingdom cannot be shaken.
Yeah.
Like, in the middle of this, zoom out. Look at God's glory, see what he's done in the gospel, and then it's not about you.
Yeah.
Really?
Totally.
Sweet. Michael, anything else there?
No. It was a joy to be back, a joy to see people's faces standing on stage. Some of them I couldn't see their face because they were behind me almost with all the new chairs. But it was just a joy to be back. I love Veritas. I love preaching his word, God's word. And just a privilege to stand on that stage yesterday and be able to do it.
Yeah, praise God. It's good to have you back. Might have to set up like 3 music stands so you can just go left stage, center stage, right stage, right?
No. Yeah.
Michael, thanks for being here this morning. Thanks again for being faithful to the text, preaching God's word, and helping us to see that we can boast in the work of God when misunderstood in the work of the ministry.
There you go.
Thanks, church. Love you guys. Bye.